This is Mark Schneidman. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Hi, Mark. This is Kathy at Escrow. We're supposed to close this week, but the buyers didn't arrive to sign loan documents. When I called their cell phone, it was answered by an agent from the FBI. Please call ASAP.
Her name is actually Kathy. That's Kathy Wade. And I wrote that how many years ago? And then here we are. She's making an FBI reference, and boy, the FBI is sure in the news today. You haven't heard. And so, but this was written, must be 10 years ago. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in to your local Santa Barbara Realtor. Santa Barbara Realtor. Shouldn't have had that last drink. I'm here with talent on loan from the California Association of Realtors. Periodically, I promote the Santa Barbara Beekeepers Association. You can find them online at sbba.org, Santa Barbara Beekeepers Association. A few weeks back, we had an interview with the co-founder, Paul Cronshaw. Last week, I mentioned that 15 beehives were lost in Montecito. And I reached out to Paul, and I was trying to speculate how many bees there were, and he said there could have been about 30,000 bees in each hive, so about 500,000 bees. And the sad part is, of course, in the middle of the night, the bees are home. That's what they do. They sleep inside the hive at night, and then during the day they go out and forage. So it's in all likelihood. So of all the loss we've experienced, you don't really want to worry about bees. But in the big picture, of course, bees are doing so much and losing their lives and their livelihood elsewhere. So anyway, if you find a beehive where you don't want them, don't call the exterminator. Go online to the Bee Rescue Hotline, sbba.org, Santa Barbara Beekeepers Association. Fourth segment's the weekly multiple listing sales update, tracking median home price sales weekly. Year-to-date, we'll do in the first segment. In addition, for year-to-date, compared to prior past years, we'll look at what's in escrow over $1 million compared to prior years and what's pending year-to-date for this year and last year. Because if you've listened the last few weeks, our year-to-date sales, very, very low, very low. And speculating that the fire in December slowed things down, so then we're not selling and closing a lot in January. But I'm seeing a little bit of an uptick in pending, so that's good. Could see some future closings on that. So let's start with year-to-date sales. This is through the seventh week of the year. For the week ending February 16th, 2018, single-family residences only, just through the Santa Barbara Multiple Listing Service, from Carpinteria to Goleta, 77 sales. 77 sales. Last year, 107 sales. The year before that, 112. Before that, 100. Before that, 104. Before that, 122. Before that, 126. You go back to 2011, 82. So 77 sales for the first 7 weeks of the year, single-family residences. That's low. And I didn't figure out, or did I figure out the percentage? Yeah, 28% fewer sales year-to-date than last year. And that's a big number. So that got me curious to look at pendings. First, I'll give you the median price. $1,004,000, which is almost 20% higher than last year's median price, $1,175,000. Now, then you go over and look at what's in escrow over $1 million, and there are only 60 in escrow over $1 million, and that represents 18% of the available inventory over $1 million. Last year at this time, there were 84 listings in escrow over $1 million, and that represented 23% of the inventory. So you go, wait a second. Why is the median sales price $1,004,000, almost 20% higher year-to-date than last year, and yet we have so fewer listings in escrow over $1 million right now? Well, are you asking me? So, you know, what do I know? There could be a lot of these listings. What I could have done is looked at what's in escrow over 2, 3, and 4 million. Because maybe there were a lot of high-end properties in escrow. But, or we're comparing what's in escrow now, only 60 out of 327 in escrow over $1 million compared to last year, 84. But the year-to-date is what's already closed. So it's actually two different categories now that I'm saying this aloud. So, you know, what's sold is sold. What's in escrow? So does that mean that the median price will decline because we have fewer listings compared to last year in escrow over $1 million? Now it changes daily. So we'll see. So then let's circle back to pending sales year to date. Now we already looked at the closings, 28% fewer closings year to date, first 7 weeks of the year, single family residence, South Coast, Carpinteria de Goleta. That's dramatic. Pending, let's see, pending year-to-date, 120 pending sales year-to-date. Last year, year-to-date, 133. So that's only 9.8% off in the number of pending sales versus 28% in the number of closings. So hopefully, maybe the theory of December fires and the town being in an uproar, and then, of course, following with the mudslide, I guess it was January 9th, if I'm correct. But the pendings are strong. The pendings are strong, so we might end up evening out. Again, year-to-date 2018 through February 16th, 120 pending sales in single family. Last year, 133. But in 2016, it was only 110. So we actually have more pending sales this year than we did in 2016, and only 9.8% off from last year. So it's going to have to be more of a big picture. You know, we're looking at it weekly, year to date, but it's going to have to look at the first quarter when it's all over, all said and done, to really know the full impact of the mudslide and what's selling. But clearly, things are slowing down quite a bit. In certainly in Montecito. Okay, so we did. Last week my guest was from the Pacific Legal Foundation, and we discussed eminent domain, the taking of property by municipalities. And I complained to him that I was considering getting a vanity license plate, and I thought that by them demanding an annual fee after the initial expense, which was acceptable, but I felt it's extortion for them to continue. How many hundreds of thousands of people have vanity license plates and they're collecting $50? You do? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm surprised they let that go through. It's kind of vulgar. And the instructions they have are very interesting, you know, what they're excluding. It's like the Fair Housing Authority. You know, you're not going to get away with saying vulgar things or racist things or sexist things. And you have to put down an explanation as to why you're electing to choose these plates. They want to know why you're doing it. There's a spot. They didn't have that when you did yours, Richard? 13 years, and you're paying what, $40 a year extra? 25? Maybe you're grandfathered in. Well, I'm going to call the DMV. You should be paying 40. So maybe it's gone up. It's absolutely outrageous. I plan to submit a class action lawsuit against the DMV. I'm outraged. So I asked the guest last week, and here we are talking about serious topics, you know, about taking people's homes away. To put a freeway on ramp is one thing. That's the public good. But they were taking it to give it to another private entity. So it was a bad analogy, but I thought about it later. And if I had a vanity plate and the DMV said to me, you know what? We're going to take that vanity plate away from you and give it to Richard, then that would be a better argument for eminent domain, for a municipality taking private property from me and giving it to another private individual. If they wanted to take my vanity license plate and put it on all the buses in California because, you know, it was applicable and they felt it was for the public good, that could be an argument. But if they were going to take it and give it to another person, boy, you know, I just don't want to pay $40, $50 a year. It's annoying to me. You know, if it was a dollar a year, if I was worth $1 billion, you know, it's just, yeah, they should. Well, the manufacturer of the license plate, I don't care if they charged an obscene sum up front. They have no right to charge an annual fee. It's costing them nothing. They're just extorting. Okay, today's topic will be vanity license plates for the entire program. My guest coming up, Dan Walters. Of course, I'll have to ask him this inane question. Dan Walters, syndicated columnist for about 400 years since the Declaration of Independence. How long have we been around? That's longer. He was in England before. He's been writing columns forever. And we're going to talk to him about, you know, whatever he wants to talk about, because believe me, it doesn't matter. He makes the... He used to come to the UCSB economic forecast, and he'd walk up there, and he didn't have a note, no slides, no cards, nothing.
No prompts.
And he had dancing girls. And he would just stand there for like 30-plus minutes and just talk. Just talk. So Dan Walters coming up. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. I'll leave you with this. Maybe I could ask him... this question when we return, and I'll ask you now. Which commercial real estate subsector is least prosperous now? Four categories. Commercial real estate subsector is least prosperous now. And when is now? Lord knows when I printed this. December 2017, maybe. Multifamily housing, industrial, office, or retail? Which of those four categories is least prosperous? Multifamily housing, like duplexes, triplexes. Where? In Korea, North Korea. I don't know where. What are you asking me these details? We don't need details. Jane Hodges. Call Jane Hodges. She wrote this this thing. I assume it's the U.S. Multifamily housing, industrial, office, or retail. Which is the least prosperous right now? And we'll tell you that when we return with our guest, Dan Walters.